Albayan Radio presents the following program, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
Bismillah walhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Ba'da an takallama al-imam ibn al-qayyim an marad al-qalb وأن مرض القلب إما أن يكون لشهوة وإما أن يكون لشبهة. بعد أن تكلم عن هذا الموضوع ذكر بابا في زكاة القلب، يعني كيف يزكي المسلم قلبه، كيف يطهر قلبه. فقال أولا في تعريف الزكاة في اللغة هي النماء والزيادة في الصلاح وكمال الشيء، يقال زكى الشيء إذا نما، هذا معنى الزكاة في اللغة العربية، يعني الزكاة هي النماء والزيادة وكمال الشيء. قال الله تعالى خذ من أموالهم صدقة تطهرهم وتزكيهم بها، فجمع بين الأمرين الطهارة والزكاة لتلازمهما. ثم قال الإمام ابن القيم فإن نجاسة الفواحش والمعاصي في القلب بمنزلة الأخلاط الرديئة في البدن وبمنزلة الدغل في الزرع وبمنزلة الخبث أو الخبث في الذهب والفضة والنحاس والحديد. نحن رأينا كيف يقارن الإمام ابن القيم دائما بين القلب وبين البدن، وهنا أيضا يقول يعني نجاسة الفواحش والمعاصي في القلب بمنزلة الأخلاط الرديئة في البدن. البدن إذا اعتل يعني خرج عن طبيعته يضعف البدن. أيضا يعني الفواحش والمعاصي في القلب أيضا هي بمنزلة الدغل في الزرع، والدغل في الزرع هي هذه النباتات التي تخرج مع الزرع وتعيق نماء الزرع أو تبطئ نماءه، لذلك يحرص كل مزارع على تنقية زرعه من هذا الدغل، من هذه النباتات الضارة، فكل مزارع يعرف ذلك، يعرف أن هذه النباتات تضر في الزرع فيستخرجها من الأرض، يزيلها من الأرض. أيضا هو بمنزلة الخبث في الذهب والفضة والنحاس والحديد. فكما أن البدن إذا استفرغ من الأخلاط الرديئة تخلصت القوة الطبيعية منها فاستراحت فعملت عملها بلا معوق ولا ممانع. فكما يعني فنم البدن فكذلك القلب إذا تخلص من الذنوب بالتوبة فقد استفرغ من تخليطه فتخلصت قوة القلب وإرادته للخير فاستراح من تلك الجواذب الفاسدة والمواد الرديئة، زكى ونمى وقوي واشتد وجلس على سرير ملكه ونفذ حكمه في رعيته فسمعت له وأطاعت فلا سبيل له إلى زكاته إلا بعد طهارته كما قال تعالى قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون فجعل الزكاة بعد غض البصر وحفظ الفرج إذن حتى يكون القلب ملكا على بقية الأعضاء لا بد أن يتطهر من رجس الفواحش والمعاصي إذا أردت أن يكون القلب قويا شديدا نافذ الحكم في رعيته لا بد أن تطهره من نجاسة الفواحش والمعاصي.
بسم الله. All praise is due to Allah. May Allah send His peace and blessings upon His final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we continue with the discussion of the conditions of the heart. And we mentioned that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentioned that the heart is affected by the sicknesses either of doubts or of desires. And that the heart needs to be purified. And this is called in Arabic zakatul qalb. And the word zakat in the Arabic language, linguistically it comes from procuring or nurturing an increase. So nurturing to that which is good and perfect. So until it becomes good and perfect. So in Arabic they say that if something is zakah, it means it has been nurtured or increased. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, take from their wealth a charity by which to purify them and you give them tazkiyah with it. And you purify them with it or that you give them increase with it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this verse in regards to paying zakat that is a purification and an increase, and they are both related to each other, because when you purify something you give it a chance to increase. So the filth of immorality and sin in the heart is like inferior substances to the body and is similar to the weeds to vegetation, and is similar to impurities that are mixed with gold and silver and copper and iron. So many times Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he draws a parable between the rectification of the heart with the health of the body, and as well with vegetation. So just as, for example, for the body to become strong, you must rid the body from inferior substances that prevent the body from growing. Likewise, vegetation. And any person who grows vegetation knows that you must remove the harmful plants and the weeds from around the vegetation that you wish to grow, because the existence of those weeds will delay the increase of that vegetation that you wish to grow, and it won't be as good because the weeds take away the nutrients and prevent the nutrients from getting to that plant that you want to grow. And likewise, the filth of immorality and sin. So only just as the body will only develop and nurture and become healthy when you remove from it the inferior inferior mixtures or the inferior things that you put into the body. And then when you remove the inferior foods that come into the body, then the body will have its natural strength and the body will actually feel relaxed because it's not being exhausted in trying to remove the inferior or the harmful substances that are being put into the body. So that way the body can work at increasing the body and nurturing the body without any obstacles and without any things that prevent it from growing and nurturing. And so therefore the body will grow and be nurtured and become strong. Likewise, the heart. If the heart is free of sins and it frees itself from sins by repentance, then it will be free from the impurities. And so it will be pure. The heart will be pure and will be freed up to seek the goodness. And as well, it will feel at peace from these evil attractions and the inferior elements. So then it will nurture and increase, and it will become strong and robust. And the heart will sit in its proper place as being the king of the organs. And so it will sit on its rightful throne. And it will dictate to its subjects, which are the body parts. And so the body parts will obey the heart and it will listen to the heart. So there is no way to purify the heart except there is no way to nurture the heart except by purifying it first. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say to the believers to lower their gaze and protect their private parts. That will be purer for them. Indeed, Allah is all-knowing of what they do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that what will nurture, nurturing can only be after lowering the gaze and protecting the private parts from illicit sexual intercourse.
Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyib fi istatrada fi dhikri fawaid an-nazar lama dhakara hadhihi al-aya qul lil-mu'minina yaghuddu min absarihim wa yahfazu furujahum dhalika azka lahum ذلك أزكى لهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون. قال غض البصر عن المحارم يوجب ثلاث فوائد: عظيمة الخطر، جليلة القدر، إحداها حلاوة الإيمان ولذته التي هي أحلى وأطيب وألذ مما صرف بصره عنه وتركه لله تعالى، فإن من ترك شيئا لله عوضه الله عز وجل خيرا منه. أن يقول: النفس مولعة بحب النظر إلى الصور الجميلة، والعين رائد القلب. الرائد أيها الإخوة هو الذي تبعثه القافلة أمامها ليستطلع لها الطريق، هذا هو الرائد. كذلك يعني العين بالنسبة للقلب هي بمثابة الرائد. العين رائد القلب، يستطلع، العين تستطلع للقلب، فيبعث القلب رائده لنظر ما هناك، فإذا أخبره بحسن المنظور إليه وجماله تحرك اشتياقا إليه. إذن القلب يتحرك اعتمادا على ما يصله من العين من النظر. وكثيرا ما يتعب القلب ويتعب رسوله ورائده، كما قيل: وكنت متى أرسلت طرفك رائدا لقلبك يوما أتعبتك المناظر رأيت الذي لا كله أنت قادر عليه ولا عن بعضه أنت صابر فإذا كف الرائد عن الكشف والمطالعة استراح القلب من كلفة الطلب والإرادة. وهذا سبحان الله شيء مجرب، يعني إذا الرائد كف عن الكشف والمطالعة الذي يستريح هو القلب، يستريح من كلفة الطلب والإرادة. لكن متى من يعني من أطلق لحظاته دامت حسراته، فإن النظر يولد المحبة. هذه الأمور التي سيذكرها الآن ابن القيم هي درجات المحبة، أو يعني درجات المحبة في القلب. قال إن النظر يولد المحبة، فتبدأ علاقة يتعلق بها القلب بالمنظور إليه، ثم تقوى فتصير صبابة ينصب إليها القلب بكليته، ثم تقوى فتصير غراما يلزم القلب، يعني الغرام من الغرم، أو يعني وهو ملازمة الشيء كلزوم الغريم الذي لا يفارق غريمه، ثم يقوى فيصير عشقا وهو الحب المفرط، ثم يقوى فيصير شغفا وهو الحب الذي قد وصل إلى شغاف القلب وداخله، ثم يقوى فيصير تتيما، والتتيم التعبد، ومنه تيمه الحب إذا عبده، وتيم الله عبد الله، فيصير القلب عبدا لمن لا يصلح أن يكون هو عبدا له، وهذا كله جناية النظر، خصوصا إذا تكرر النظر، فحينئذ يقع القلب في الأسر، فيصير أسيرا بعد أن يكون بعد أن كان ملكا، ومسجونا بعد أن كان مطلقا، يتظلم من الطرف ويشكوه، يتظلم من النظر ويشكوه، والطرف يقول أنا رائدك ورسولك وأنت بعثتني. وهذا إنما تبتلى به القلوب الفارغة من حب الله والإخلاص له، فإن القلب لا بد له من التعلق بمحبوب. وهذه حقيقة، يعني الله سبحانه وتعالى خلق لكل عضو عمل، لكل عضو في جسمنا له غاية. فما الغاية من القلب؟ القلب لا بد له من التعلق بمحبوب. فمن لم يكن الله وحده محبوبه وإلهه ومعبوده فلا بد أن يتعبد قلبه لغيره. قال تعالى عن يوسف الصديق عليه السلام: كذلك لنصرف عنه السوء والفحشاء إنه من عبادنا المخلصين. فامرأة العزيز لما كانت مشركة وقعت فيما وقعت فيه مع كونها ذات زوج، ويوسف عليه السلام لما كان مخلصا لله تعالى نجا من ذلك مع كونه شابا عزبا غريبا مملوكا. بالمقاييس الأرضية كان يعني كان يوسف عليه السلام بالمقاييس الأرضية أنه هو أسهل يعني من أن يقع يعني في الفاحشة، لأنه كان غريبا، كان مملوكا، كان عزبا، وكان شابا. فكل هذه بالمقاييس أهل الدنيا أو بالمقاييس الأرضية
كان هو الأولى أن يقع في الفاحشة، بخلاف امرأة العزيز، هي كانت امرأة متزوجة وكان زوجها له مكانة في مصر، فهي بالمقاييس أيضا الأرضية هي كانت الأجدر بها أن تمتنع عن الفاحشة. لكن سبحان الله، يعني لما كان يوسف عليه السلام عبدا مخلصا لله تعالى، وقلبه أخلصه لله وأخلص حبه لله، حماه الله سبحانه وتعالى من أن يقع في حب غيره أو في الفاحشة، وهذا من يعني بسبب إخلاصه، كما ذكر الله إنه من عبادنا المخلصين.
ابن القيم رحمه الله then diverts to addressing the issue of lowering the gaze after mentioning this verse and how that nurturing of the heart is after lowering the gaze and protecting the private parts from illicit sexual intercourse. He says that lowering the gaze from the forbidden things, it will necessitate three benefits that are so great and so critical and have a very high status. The first benefit of lowering the gaze is that it provides a sweetness of iman in the heart and a joy in the heart of faith. And the sweetness and joy of faith is more sweet and more enjoyable than what he tries to look at. So when he looks at something to get enjoyment, but when he turns away from that forbidden thing for the sake of Allah, he will actually get a better feeling in his heart. Because whoever leaves something for the sake of Allah, Allah will replace him with something better than it. It is natural in the human soul to love to look at beautiful images. And the eye is like the scout of the heart. Just like an army would send forward a scout to scout out an area and to report back what it sees, and it gives it direction on where to go based on the report of the scout. So the eye is the scout of the heart. It guides the heart to what to seek. So when you send out your scout, your eye, to look what to look forward to see what's out there, and so if the eye comes back reporting to the heart of a beautiful image and something of beauty, then the heart will turn to that, longing to see it. And so many times the scout or the eye is exhausted because the heart keeps sending it out to look, and it causes exhaustion as well. So the eye gets tired, and as well it causes tiredness and exhaustion to the heart. As the poet, he said, when you send out your eye to scout out things for your heart, then you will become exhausted from the things that you see. You will see things that you are not able to do altogether. You're not able to gain altogether. And you are not able to be patient, even to resist even a part of it. So when you look at things that you're not able to achieve, and even you're not able to achieve even part of it, you put yourself in a situation where you can't even be patient. You put yourself in a situation when you look at things that that are beyond your ability. So if the eye or the scout, we're using that as a parable, that the eye is like a scout. If the scout refrains from discovering and looking out for things, then the heart will actually be at rest from being obligated to look and search for things, and the heart will be at rest from wishing for things. But the one who lets his eyes run wild, then he will be in a continuous state of distress. Because what you look at will create love. And so it creates a connection in the heart with what you look at. And then this love, especially if a person keeps looking, it will strengthen and it will become a higher form of love, in Arabic called sababa. And this is when the heart stands up and wishes for it from all its heart. Then this love will increase until it becomes gharam, like a romance, where and a gharam is called gharam because it becomes a binding love, just like one who is in debt becomes bound to his debt. And so so just as a person who has given someone and he becomes bound in seeking the payment of his debt from his debtor, and then this this love will increase until it becomes ishq, and ishq is extreme love. And then this love will increase until it becomes shagaf, which is love that reaches the internal of the heart. And then this love will increase until it becomes tatayyuman. And tatayyum means worship. And that a person, he loves something so much that he worships it. And this is why the name Tayyumullah means servant of Allah. And so the heart becomes a slave to the one that it loves. And this will not be beneficial for the heart unless... and so the heart will become a slave to one who will not bring it benefit. And this is all a crime committed, you know, that he does all of this damage because of what his eyes have done. And so then the heart will be now a prisoner. It will be a prisoner after it was a king. And it will be in a jail after it was free. And he will blame and he will put himself in justice because of his eyes. And he will blame his eyes and he will complain about him. And the eyes will say, "I am just your scout and your messenger, and you are the one who sent me forth."
اللي ذكرها كلها هي لمن كان قلبه فارغا من حب من محبة الله.
So all of this anguish that a person has will be for a person whose heart is free from the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the heart has to attach itself something, has to love something. And so if you're not going to love Allah alone, and He will be your love and your deity and the one that you worship, then the heart must love something else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Yusuf al-Siddiq alayhi salam, and likewise we wish to divert from him evil and immorality. Indeed, he was one of our sincere servants. So the wife of the minister, when she was a polytheist, she fell in love with Yusuf, even though she was married. And Yusuf alayhi salam, because he was sincere to Allah, his heart was purely dedicated to Allah, he was able to be saved. Even though he was a young man, he was unmarried, he was a stranger, and he was a captive. So he was able to resist the love of the wife of the minister because his heart was purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though he had all of the worldly means that would normally make a person fall into this desire. He was a young man, he wasn't old, he was unmarried, he wasn't married, that You know, he was a stranger, you know, and generally people, when they're away from familiar surroundings, they have less inhibition. And he was a slave, you know, so he didn't have a status that he needed to defend or a position or you know, he was a slave. And generally that was sort of, you know, it was easier for such people, even though the wife of the minister, she was married. She had a husband who can fulfill her desire. She was an older woman. She had, you know, a reputation to uphold. But because her heart was not devoted to Allah, so her heart was devoted to her love. And so all of these other barriers did not stop her from seeking what she... So she became a slave to her love. And this is why she fell for that and sought after that sin, whereas Yusuf alayhi salam, because his heart was purely for Allah, he was able to resist that sin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us all. Inshallah, we'll end for today. Jazakumullah khair. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.